I'm Paul Foster for Public Radio WNCW. It's time for our Friday feature interview of the week, and my guest at this time is an author that is on campus today here at Isothermal Community College. We're going to talk to him about his latest book, and that is John Cribb.
Thank you for having me, Paul. Glad to be here.
Before we get into the book, which is called Old Abe, and yeah, Abraham Lincoln, John, I'd like for you to first of all tell us a little bit about yourself, some background.
Well, I was born and raised just down the road in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and I lived there until I went off to college in Nashville, Tennessee, Vanderbilt University, and then I went up and I lived in Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years. I was always homesick for the Carolinas, though, and so in 2001, my wife and I moved back to Spartanburg. We have two girls and had a fantastic time raising them there, and I just love this part of the country.
Before we talk about this latest book, you have been on the bestsellers list before. Talk a little bit about some of the other books that you have penned.
This is not my first book by any means. I've written and been involved with many books, but they've all been nonfiction up until now. And a couple of them have been on the bestseller list. One of them was called The Educated Child, kind of a book to help parents make sure their kids turn out the way they're supposed to in school. And then another one called The American Patriot's Almanac, which is basically a book that tells a story from American history for each day of the year. Both of those were on the New York Times bestseller list. But this is my first stab at writing a novel with Old Abe.
Well, congratulations on the past success. Let's now talk about the latest novel, Old Abe, which, by the way, received this description from former U.S. Secretary of Education William Bennett, who said, quote, "This is the best book about Abraham Lincoln I have ever read." That's quite a compliment. There's others as well. But first of all, what inspired you to do this story?
Well, I've been a Lincoln fan a long, long time. The idea, believe it or not, came back way back in 2006. I was reading Carl Sandburg's landmark six-volume biography of Abraham Lincoln and kind of working my way through it. And at the same time, I read Irving Stone's wonderful novel about Michelangelo. It's called The Agony and the Ecstasy, basically a historical novel about his life. And it just set me to wondering, could you do the same kind of thing about Lincoln? And so that was the kind of the genesis of it. And as I say, that was in 2006. So here we are finally, all these years later. My wife teases me. She said, look, it only took 4 years to fight the Civil War. It's taken more than three times that length of time for you to write, get this book done, which is true. Better late than never, right?
So you decided in the book to write about Abraham Lincoln's last 5 years of his life. Is that correct?
Yes, right.
What I found interesting about this time period in Lincoln's life is that not only was he, of course, the leader of the United States, we had the Civil War going on, but also in his personal life, there was the death of a child or two,
yes.
And also the fact that his wife was maybe not in the best of health as well.
Yeah. And you're right, the book basically, it starts with his nomination for the presidency, and then you're just at Lincoln's side in every chapter, every scene as you go through this book. And I tried to make it as historically accurate as I could and bring him alive for people. They stepped into a situation where they were just almost immediately surrounded by death and destruction. Country was being torn apart, lives were being torn apart, families were being torn apart, including Mary Lincoln's family. She had two brothers that were killed fighting for the Confederacy, and her sister's husband too. They lost a son, Willie, to typhoid fever in the White House. It's the second son they had lost. They had lost a son when he was almost 4 years old, Eddie, back in Springfield. It just got worse and worse as this went on. And so Lincoln, not only is he trying to manage and prosecute this war, but he's trying to help Mary keep it together. Because especially after Willie dies, she becomes more and more unstable as time goes on. So it's a very tragic story. Although I think in the end, it's a hopeful story for the country by the end of the book.
It's the Friday feature on WNCW. We're speaking with author John Cribb, who has put together the book Old Abe. He is a native of nearby Spartanburg, South Carolina. John, I noticed that in the book you broke it up into chapters that were titled by the time period. For instance, summer of 1860, spring 1863. What were some of the significant things going on during these time periods that you can tease a little bit without giving it away to our listening audience?
Yeah, sure. And I have to give credit to my editor at Republic Books for that. He read through it and said, you know, why don't you put the since this is a historically accurate novel, put at the top of each title when it happened. So sometimes it's a single day in history, sometimes it's a few months, but the time period is right at the top of each chapter. But you're walking with Lincoln through all this, so you're with him for iconic events like the Gettysburg Address and the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. And you're with them also for a lot of lesser-known moments that I think really make up a life in full, like the nights he wanders the White House hallways asking himself, you know, how am I going to get this done? How are we going to win this war? Or the times he stands over the beds of where wounded soldiers are lying, looking down into the faces of Union and Confederate soldiers, or the night he tries to dash into the blazing White House stables that have caught fire, and he realizes his son's ponies and their pet goats are in there, and he wants to try to get them out if he can. So a lot of moments like that that are maybe lesser known, but I think really bring out the human side of Abraham Lincoln.
You talked about so much of the tragedy that was going on, Abraham Lincoln dealing with his own personal situation, what was going on in the country at that time. But couldn't we say when he first went into the presidency that he was quite popular? Is that an adequate statement?
Well, in the North, he was, because he actually, in the election of 1860, he swept the North. I was speaking with some of your faculty and students a little while ago and told them that in that election, when he came into office in 1860, he did not carry a single Southern state. Not only did not carry, he didn't get a single vote in the South. And I don't mean he didn't get a single electoral vote. He didn't get a single vote from anybody in the entire South. But that was largely because they kept his name off the ballot in the Deep South. You couldn't vote for Abraham Lincoln even if you wanted to. It was very divided. But in the North, I think coming in, there was a lot of people were pulling for him. Yes, they wanted to see him succeed. Now, as the war went on and got worse and worse and just dragged on and on and on, of course, then the divisions came out. And Lincoln had a lot of critics in the North during the war. A lot of people said, you know, he's a really nice guy, and he may be an honest Abe, but he's just not up to it. He's just a rube from the sticks, and he's in over his head, and we need somebody else. He took a lot of criticism during the war, too.
What would be some of the final words when it comes to Abe? And the reason I'm asking you this is we think about what's been going on in our country in this year. We've got the vote for president mm-hmm. coming up just around the corner. There's been a lot of tension, a lot of unrest due to circumstances. And when we go back to the presidency of Abraham Lincoln, of course, before he lost his life in the manner that he did, he, of course, made sure slavery ended and slaves were freed and all of that. When you think about that to some of the things going on now, what are some things that come to mind?
I would say there are two broad lessons that you can take away from Lincoln, and hopefully if you read this book. One would be Lincoln really was the great unifier. You know, he set out to save the Union. He was fiercely devoted to this country, and he always was sending out the message, we're all in this together, we're all fellow Americans, and we need to be fellow Americans. For his inaugural addresses, when he first came into office, he said, we must not be enemies, but friends. He said, passions may have strained the bonds of affection, but must not break them. He was all about, we're all Americans. Just second thing, he was fiercely devoted to our founding principles, especially those in the Declaration of Independence. That was his favorite founding document, those principles that we're all created equal, and we all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He knew that's what makes us all Americans. That is the glue that holds us together. I think Lincoln would say that as long as we are, as Americans, are dedicated to those principles, we always have the opportunity to be a great nation.
Old Abe, which is the book from John Cribb, the author of the book, our guest. And John, if someone's interested in finding out more about you or getting a copy of the book, how could they do so?
Go to my website, which is johncribbauthor.com. Books anywhere. I always say support your local independent bookstore if you can, but you can certainly go to Amazon or barnesandnoble.com or bookshop.org, any of those online places sell it to.
Certainly do appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.
That's the Friday Feature Interview of the Week from WNCW, which is also available as a podcast on our website at wncw.org. I'm Paul Foster.